God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
And this good God loves you. Yeah? He loves you. He loves you so much. He cannot take his eyes off you. And you don't deserve it. Is that good? Yeah. So since September last year, switch these off. Since September last year, we've been doing the book of Acts. Did you enjoy the book of Acts? Yeah? God sent his Holy Spirit down and the church exploded, and it was the beginning of the church. The beginning of the church. And they loved God. They exploded in the glorification of God. Yeah? And then they loved people. They built up in discipleship. And then they went and built God's kingdom. Yeah, by preaching the gospel. Was it amazing? It was the beginning of the church. And we're going to look at the beginning of the beginnings of the next few months and in Genesis. And I'm really, 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 really excited. Are you excited? Yeah, you look worried. Everybody always looks worried when I preach. But the beginning. So, the word Bible. Who can tell me what the word Bible means?
Library.
It means library. And the Bible is not one book. It is a group of books. It's 66 books in total. And together, a lot of the Bible forms a history. And it's a history of our universe. Yeah, and it's different from any other history in the world or history book because it starts earlier than any other history book and it finishes later than any other history book. So there is no book like it, and it has the beginning and the end of the universe and further. And also this history is written from God's point of view. It's not written from my point of view or anybody else's point of view. It's a special book because it's written from God's point of view. And God puts in this history the things that are important to him. That's what you've got in this history. And he selects it and he's very careful. And it matters what's in this book. And the book of Genesis sets the stage. It sets the cast and it starts and it sets the plot of this incredible drama that is the Bible, this love letter. And the Hebrew name Genesis, they call it in the beginning, because when they used to read scripture, they would unroll the scroll and they call the books the names of what's first. And it's actually called in the beginning. But about 250 years before Jesus was born, the Greeks translated it into something called the Septuagint. I didn't pronounce that right. And they gave it the name Genesis. Does anybody know what Genesis means? No Greek scholars. No. So it means origins. Origins. And it's a great name because Genesis tells us about the origins of the universe, of the sun, of the moon, of the stars, of the planet that we live in, the origins of plants, birds, fish, animals, humans, the origins of marriage, sex, family, government, civilization, arts, science, the origins of sin, of death, the origins of sacrifice, the origins of animal and human sacrifice. And it does it in 50 chapters. Are you excited? All that. And it deals with ultimate questions like, where did our universe come from? Why are we here? Why do we die? We don't talk much about death, do we? But why do we die? And ultimate questions, Genesis gives an answer. And it gives answers to questions that nobody else can answer. So historians cannot answer where we came from or how the earth was formed because they weren't there. Scientists can't tell you what happened before the beginning. They can see what happened in the beginning, but not before the beginning. So they can't answer the questions that Genesis answers. Philosophers can't answer questions that Genesis answers. They can only guess and speculate. Questions like, where does evil come from? They can guess, but they don't have any answers. Genesis gives the answers. There is only one person who can answer these questions. Who do you think that is? God. He answers these questions. And when you open Genesis, you're immediately faced with a question. And you have to decide, as we go through this book, what the answer to this question is. Is this book of human imagination made up, or is it divine inspiration? So has a human just wrote it and made it up, or has God inspired it? And you need to ask that question first. And you need to decide before you read Genesis. I believe I know the answer. So are you excited? Are you excited about Genesis? You're getting there. So, it starts, in the beginning, God. It doesn't let you off. It says, in the beginning, God. So if you believe in Genesis and you think that scripture is inspired, it denies atheism. So it doesn't give you any option. You have to believe that there is a God. There is no God. It says, in the beginning, God, singular. It doesn't say there were many gods. It says, God, one God. It says, in the beginning, God created. If you believe Genesis, you cannot believe that you are an accident and creation is an accident. You were created. It says God created heaven and earth. It strikes out the possibility that God is in his creation. So we don't worship trees and spirits and lakes and things like that. God created. It shows the attributes of God. It says, in the beginning, God. There was not a time where God was not. Yeah, God has always been. In fact, God's name is Yahweh, and if the English equivalent is always, there has never been a beginning or the end of God. God is bigger than time. God created time. Time is just something that helps you understand the world. Can you get your head around that? God is bigger than time. God, if he created the world and the universe, is all powerful. If you accept Genesis, you have to accept that God is all powerful. He threw stars into space with his fingers. God doesn't need anybody or anything. He existed and did all that before humans were created. God doesn't need us to do anything at all. In fact, from God's point of view, we have no point whatsoever. He doesn't need us. That's God. And that's what you see in the beginning, God, if you believe Genesis. What else does it tell you about God? Well, it says, verse 2, the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. God is a creating God. God is the only person who can create something out of nothing. If you've created everything else that's ever been created, has been created out of something else. Only God can create something out of nothing. Is that incredible? That is God. God is a God who brings order out of chaos. It says, darkness covered the deep, it was empty. God can create order out of chaos, and that is his nature in Genesis. Has God ever caused order out of your chaos? God is an order creating God. Beauty out of darkness. God's Spirit is involved in creation. The Spirit hovered over the water. In the first chapter, we've got God the Father, and we've got God the Holy Spirit. God is one, and God is plural. That's what we find out. Is that amazing? So God created everything. Yeah? And what was it? When God created everything, bring up the next slide, yeah? When God created all that, what was it? What did he say it was?
Good.
It was good. God doesn't create junk. It was good. God created everything, and it was good. Do you know something else that he does? He forms and he fills. Isn't that interesting? So God, there's actually, you don't read it or see it like that when Christiana, but actually God created the environment. Light, dark, sea, skies, lands, plants, and then he fills it with sun, moon and stars, fish, bird, land, animals, humans. God created you to be filled with something. God's Holy Spirit. That's incredible. How did God do it? Did he do it in 7 days? Did he do it in 40 million years? Did he do it in 7 days and pretended it was 40 million years? Who's read lots of different theories? Who knows? Jeff? Pardon?
He does.
He does. Do you know what? I don't know. But what I do know is that God, Scripture is true, and God did it because it says it did. Yeah? Can you imagine if all these scientists say, well, why does God not give us more detail? Why has he not God give us the equations? Next slide, Jeff. Can you imagine if the Bible was written like that in a scientific language? And God said, I can't even read that. Pete, you could probably read that. Do you understand that? I don't. And then there was light. He didn't. He wrote it in a way that everybody understood. Yeah? But it was good, and he did. And do you know what? Sometimes I think science needs to catch up with God, not the other way around. But what does creation also testify? Yeah? His goodness. How can you look at creation and not believe there is a God? Have you ever thought about it? When I was a really young Christian, I sat in Witton Park. Who's been to Witton Park? It's a park in Blackburn. You all know Blackburn. Blackburn is not considered the most picturesque place in the world sometimes, is it? No? But I sat on a bench in Witton Park and I looked at creation. I looked at the sky, and at the time I worked with antiques. And do you know, the sky over Blackburn is more beautiful than the most beautiful painting I've ever seen. Yeah? The grass was more intricate than the most beautiful jewel I have ever seen. Yeah? And I looked at everything, the relationship between the children playing in the park, which was given by God, was more beautiful than anything else. Yeah? What God has created is so much more amazing than what man has created. I looked over the fence at Witton Park and I saw the factories and the houses. No comparison, is there? God is the God of creation and it is good. How can you deny that there is a God when you look at creation? Sit down and think about it. Yeah? Everybody can see the glory of God in creation, even over Blackburn. You cannot deny it. And then verse 26, then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky that scurry along the ground. God created human beings to be like us. God is referring to himself in the plural. At the beginning of the Bible, you've got the Trinity. Yeah. But also, you are made in God's image, both male and female. Is that not amazing? You are made in God's image. You are that important. God cherishes you so much. We were made to govern and reign. Humankind was not made to go and trash the world and mine it for whatever resources and destroy it and trash it or whatever. We were made to govern and reign. We were made to govern well. We should govern. That's the God's first plan. And what else happens to mankind? Mankind is blessed. You are made in God's image, and we are blessed. God is a blessing God. He blesses you. That's his intention. That's good. God wants the best for us. And then he says, be fruitful and multiply. So what's being fruitful? Is it not the same as multiply? So what does multiply mean? What do you think it means? I think it means go and have lots of babies, I think. So if he says that, what does fruitful mean? It's one of these weird words that you see. Oh, fruitful. Do you know what? I think fruitful is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. God wanted us to be fruitful, mankind to be fruitful, fruits of the Spirit. And go have babies. Yeah? And God created everything, created mankind, and looked at it and said, before humankind, it was good. But when he created humans, what did he say? It is very good. You make creation very good. Is that not good?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And he looked over everything. God is good. Everything he creates is good. All in the first chapter. And then what did he do once he created everything and said it was very, very good? He had a rest. Yeah, he had a Sabbath. God rested. Yeah? Do we rest? Angela. And lots of many other people. Yeah? God is a God who rests. That's real. Go read Hebrews if you want to know about rest. God is a God that rests. But if God rests, what else does he do? He works. God is a God who works and creates. Do you know what? Work is good. Your job is a blessing. It was part of the original plan. Idleness is not good. You know, most people I meet, very often they fall into depression and difficulty when they're not working. Yeah, because it's part of the plan. Work is good. Activity is good. But so is rest. That's so important. God provided water. There was no rain. Isn't that interesting? So there's no rain in the Bible till Noah. But God, there were springs that welled up. And do you know what God provides? God created a garden, an environment for mankind that was beautiful. Is that not good? It's good. And then God formed Adam from the ground and breathed breath of life into him. Do you know what? God is the only person who can give life. Yeah, the scientists try it, but he breathed life. And every breath you take, God has allowed you to do that. And it's the breath of life. So every breath honours God. It's his grace. Is that not good? And he planted a garden, and in it he put the tree of life and he put the tree of knowledge. Now, I don't think God was creating humans to live naturally for eternity, but his original plan was for mankind to have access to the tree of life and live for eternity with him. Isn't that wonderful? That was his plan. That's his plan in the beginning of the Bible. But also the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He would have been so simpler if he hadn't have made that tree, wouldn't it? It would have been so much simpler. Yeah. Why did God do that? Because without that, we couldn't love. We would have been prisoners. Yeah, we would have no choice. So even the tree of knowledge of good and evil is God's grace. It's incredible, isn't it? And he says you can eat of every tree in the garden, apart from the tree of good and knowledge. Do you know what? Grace abounds. Go enjoy everything in this garden. Go eat. How gracious is God? Go eat. Isn't God good? Just the goodness in the first chapter. I'm not even preaching, I'm just saying what's there. It's incredible. And then he says, so the Lord formed from the ground all the wild animals. He brought them to the man to see what he could call them. And man chose the name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, all the wild animals. But still, there was no helper just right for him. Humans were made for relationship. Yeah, God created us that way. That's what humans were designed to do. And loneliness is one of the scourges. I'm using somebody else's words here. Of today, isn't it? Yeah. Mankind was never supposed to be alone. If you know somebody lonely in this church or anywhere, the way you can bring the kingdom of God to them is by spending time with them. Yeah? Because we were never designed to be on our own. And there is no fit partner. God brought all the animals to him and mankind named them. But there was no fit partner. So cats are lovely and dogs, but they don't replace human relationship. Or relationship with God, do they? So what does God do? Well, he creates the woman out of the rib and he brought her to the man. I love this bit. This is one of my favourite bits of the Bible. And the man goes, seeing this beautiful, probably naked lady, at last! He goes, at last! Which is, in Lancashire, would be, yes! Wouldn't it, I suppose? Maybe not quite like that, isn't it? But he says the first love song in the Bible. Yeah, we have it in Genesis. This one is born from my bone, flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. Do you know what? Marriage is important. It is part of God's plan. Man and woman. And that's God's best plan. Doesn't always work out like that because we live in a fallen world. Yeah? But that was his plan. And man, woman, people become one. One flesh. One body. And that's a really special gift to us. And God created sex. That's brilliant. It was God's idea. It's not a disgraceful thing. It's wonderful. And they felt no shame. Marriage was supposed to be where we share everything with the husband and the wife. That's really, really hard. And I get that horribly wrong. Yeah, but that was the original plan. To be two people, to be one person. Isn't that good? That's just the first chapter. So what do I want to say? Two chapters. What do I want to say? What's my comment? Well, do you know what? God is good. He is the creator. He brings order out of chaos. We've got the Trinity. Yeah? Jesus was there at the beginning. And it says in John, God breathed life into us. We have God's Holy Spirit. Why did God create humans? Why? Does anybody know?
To worship him?
Do you know what? No. So a little bit of it, but not the fundamental, because he doesn't need it. He doesn't need anything at all. He doesn't need us to worship him.
Because he wanted to, yeah.
Well, yeah. So it is right worship, yeah. And because he wanted to. But God created us for what we've been singing about this morning, love. That's why. There's no other logical reason but love. God the Father, love God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit so much before the end of the world that they loved each other and they wanted to extend that love to us. Isn't that wonderful? That's why God. And out of that love comes worship. Out of that love comes all the other things. Yeah? Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. I'm going to end there, but I want... My story is I believed in science, and I didn't believe any of this rubbish, in fairness, before I was a Christian. It's not rubbish. That's what I thought it was. But actually, I live my life my way. And actually, Genesis and these two chapters shows what God's way is. And my Damascus Road was Spring Lane in Blackburn. And do you know what? I walked down Spring Lane and I thought, should I believe in what I believe in, what I believe is right, or should I believe in what God says? Yeah. And I made the step of saying, do you know what? Between the two, I'm going to believe what God says. And I put that to the test. Yeah, I've put that to the test over the years. Do you know what? And it's never let me down. Yeah, trust in God. Trust in Scripture. And I assure you, it will never, ever let you down because it is truth. So I think I'm going to stand. Yeah, go on, let us stand. Yeah, and we're going to pray. We're going to finish. But actually, so whether you want to make a step where you go, do you know what? I've done it all the other ways, but actually I want to go where God is and follow him and experience his goodness and in faith. And just, so what are the implications of that scripture? Massive on life, yeah? Or if you know Jesus, it's just good to know that God is good and his creation is goodness. So I want to have a prayer, time of thanksgiving. And then I'm going to hand back to Pete. And we're going to worship this God who created everything good, created us very good. So Lord Jesus, I want to follow you. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, help fill me more with your spirit to trust you and have faith in Scripture. Lord, we thank you for the good God that you are. Just all this goodness in the first two chapters. You made everything good. It was your plan was good because you are a good, good God. And we worship you and we give you glory.